must almost be a relief for hockey fans in Minneapolis. Norm Green is moving the Minnesota North Stars to Dallas.
Touchdown! No! No! The Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs! What you
wanna say? Club in fair territory, and then lands fair. Wow.
So a huge break for the Yankees. Joe Mauer should be at second base.
With the sixth pick in the 2009 NBA draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Johnny Flynn from
Yards left hash. Snap good. Spot down. Wolch's kick is up. And it is no good. He missed it. Are you kidding me? The season can't end like that.
New blood. We got new blood here today, Mike. Why don't you tell me, tell the folks at home who you brought today?
Well, good to see you, JP.
Nice to see you. Misery loves company and all that.
Yep, misery loves company, and I still hate that opening. But I've got my old friend. We've known each other for over 20-something years, Chris Hickle. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great.
Terrific, terrific.
Chris, thanks for coming. I saw you squirming a little bit when they were talking about drafting two point guards before Steph Curry.
I've been listening, you know, every episode to everything here, and I skip it every single time. I listen to the opening the first time for the first episode.
That was
and
the
now,
plan.
now I just skip it because
I'm not offended.
So painful to listen to every single one of those.
Well, that was the intent.
I mean, you nailed it. Right
when
on,
I said
right
new
the
blood,
head.
I meant new
nicely,
blood.
Nicely done.
Metaphorically.
Yeah. And as I mentioned before we went on air, Chris is the exact demographic that this podcast.
We made this for Chris.
Exactly. And the other dozen people that listen to our podcast.
Well, we have a cult following.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my life started in the 80s, basically. I was born in the 70s, but really in the 80s.
Okay.
And so we had World Series championships in 87 and 91. And I was like, being a sports fan is the greatest thing ever because I didn't start with the misery of the 70s with the Vikings. And I was like, this is what life is going to be like for the rest of my life. And, you know, I was, 15 when the Twins won the first their last
in
World Series.
Oh, in 91.
I think the saying is easiest way to make God laugh is tell him your plan. You had a plan of being a successful sports fan in Minnesota. You've sniffed football. They've sniffed it before. You're growing up in the 80s. We were there four times in the 70s. We'll get one.
For sure.
The Twinkies win a couple of championships, and you're just like, this is great. And
then what it's going to continue to be every 5 years, we're going to have some kind of a title here that we can celebrate. And not been the experience.
But it's
no.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to say, and you've been to my club downtown where we play poker, and
sure.
You've met Jeff the dealer.
Yes.
I blame this all on Jeff. Jeff, if you're listening, it's all your fault. He was born the day after the Vikings lost to the Raiders, the last Super Bowl they were in. So we've even talked about this. I said, so it's your fault? He goes, yep, it's my fault. And so he was born, and we haven't been in a
you
Super Bowl.
You want to give out his phone number so the people at home can?
It is 612. No.
All right. Yeah, Jeff, catching some shrapnel. It seems like this is all your fault. And there's a lot.
See,
the point I was going to make is it's not just that you don't win, Chris. It's that you come
correct.
So close and have all the potential in
the
world.
We have all the expectations in the world. And we've talking about this in every sport here. We're talking about the Vikings.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've had these expectations, a couple years ago, the Twins hit a record number of home runs, and we're like, well, of course we're going to do amazing in the playoffs. And the playoffs come in, and we hit a home run in the first inning. It's like, oh my gosh.
Here we go.
We're going to beat the Yankees, everything. Oh no, we get swept.
Yep.
Like, it's just everything again after again after again, no matter what expectations.
The running joke that Mike and I have been doing is, well, it's appropriate because I think the guy, Charles Schulz, who made Peanuts, the Lucy, the classic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Lucy's dusting off that football again per Monday night. Wow. Let's get on with the show, Mike. Mike and Chris, you guys know what we do here. If it's for whatever reason your first time listening at home, we go through Mike's mental Rolodex of all his sports memories, and then I give him more information than he ever wanted to know, and we relive that. And the theory is it's cathartic. I'm not sure. You keep listening, right, Chris?
I keep listening. I mean, it's fun to listen to the pain in Mike's voice a little bit. I mean,
tell me about it.
I mean, it's been enjoyable, and you know, the first number of episodes were before my time, but I knew about them.
There's some interesting stuff.
Getting into the 2000s and everything is just like, oh,
yeah. Now you're really reliving it.
I remember that stab in the heart.
Yes.
Corrections and retractions is first. I don't have anything. I'll be honest. I didn't listen to last week's show. I just sort of put it out. I didn't edit down. You got anything, Mike?
No, I do not.
We could have done a whole show on Bounty Gate.
Yeah, last week was on Brett Favre, and so that is now that's been dropped, right? As of last Friday, Saturday.
It's out.
Yep, it's out. So
it's called.
It is.
The episode is called
Hillbilly Benedict Arnold?
Question mark. I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying. Hey.
There's always a chance that was his plan from the beginning.
I just like how he had a vendetta, and then it's getting spooky. Like, if Aaron Rodgers is going to be doing this all season long, like, time is a flat circle. Like, it just history repeats. It's so weird how similar their careers, if that's a big if the Steelers, if he can put up good numbers and Steelers do stuff in the playoffs, it'll be just a mirror image. And there's even the bitter factor because week one, they got to play the Jets, and you heard his interview. I should have pulled it. Like, he was like, I was happy to beat anyone associated with the New York Jets franchise.
Yeah, they really did not treat him well at the end. I think they had him fly into New York only to tell him, we're not bringing you back. That could have been a phone call, a text.
It should have been. It was really a slap in the face. I mean, it's be clear, he was from Aaron Glenn, who was with the Lions, who probably hated Aaron Rodgers, and so he probably wanted to stick it to him a little bit. Yeah,
making him seems a little petty, but
yeah. I mean, I'm okay with it. I'm not a biggest Aaron Rodgers fan, so I thought it was kind of funny that they sent him over.
I don't care. Yeah, you know, if anything, the environment, like, we don't need a private jet. Wasting all that fuel for, but it is kind of funny.
Well, he took him away from his darkness retreat, and I'm sure he was offended by that.
Okay, I don't think this is an anachronism, but I wanted to highlight this word because I was curious myself where it came from. The word is moxie, and Troy Aikman stole the word. I was texting with you, Mike. We were watching JJ's debut, and the word that came to my mind was moxie, and then boom, Troy said it. So I thought, where's moxie come from? Well, Madison Avenue's done it again. We got a word in our vernacular is just from Madison Avenue. Moxie was a non-alcoholic beverage, and it was supposed to give you nerve or boost you up. So it went from being a marketing push to being in all these years later. This is the 1830s we're talking about. Moxie is just a word we say, and it comes from moxie. Yeah, so JJ showed moxie by hanging tough after a terrible start to his NFL debut.
I mean, for sure. That's what he did, but I don't understand why that's a non-alcoholic beverage. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Moxie? Yeah.
Where that comparison comes in doesn't...
Well, it was chock full of cocaine. Did I not mention that part?
Oh, you did not.
I'm kidding. I just made that up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, totally missed that very crucial piece of information.
No, now, let's talk about JJ for a minute.
Let's.
You guys do it.
You know, I had a couple classes I was training that night, so I missed a portion of the game. But from what I'm hearing, and it sounds like you guys both watched the entire game,
of course.
I didn't miss a heck of a lot from what I've heard, and he looked brutal. I was really tuning in, like, fully when he threw the pick six. I'm like, great. This is just great. And, and you know, we let Darnold go. We let Jones go, and now we got JJ. But... he figured it out.
He figured it out. And the first three quarters, you definitely did not miss much. I was watching the game with a couple Bears fans.
Oh, geez.
And they were loving the first couple quarters, thinking the world was, their oyster, thinking Caleb Williams was going to lead them to the promised land.
Caleb didn't look that good.
No, he didn't look that good either. But then JJ figured it out, which was, I I didn't know. I mean, I was hoping he would, but I didn't know he would be able to in the midst of that game, because that was a crazy slap in the face with that pick six. And
yeah. And I don't know. I mean, the national media is like doting over him right now. And I don't know if it's
the difference between starting strong and finishing strong, kids. Caleb started strong. I mean, the national media is all over, and for good reason. I mean, he didn't look that good, and he doesn't seem to be accurate at all. DJ Moore, I pay close attention because of fantasy nerd stuff, and he was overthrowing guys wide open last year too. So,
yep.
You know, Josh Allen's the only guy that I'm aware of that learned how to be accurate. They just say you have it or you don't. We'll see about Caleb, but about JJ, yeah, you couldn't have written any better, in my opinion, because it was such a slow start, and the Vikes have pushed all their chips in the center with this guy.
I sure have.
And they have talent around him, and you got the right coaching staff and all the pieces there. You just need him to be serviceable. And I think he's won the hearts and minds of the locker room. You saw by the way they were celebrating. You saw by the way KOC was celebrating. You and I talked about that a little bit, Mike. And I think it's because it opens up the playbook for him. And the guy's such a good offensive mind. I think he was just truly excited for the team and for himself. Got some, you know, no more Kirk Cousins statue and whoever else they had back there.
And that hefty salary.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well Lucy's getting her ball ready. We're starting to get excited here.
Yeah. Real quickly, and this is what, you know, oftentimes I'll work from home and I'll have ESPN on in the background just because I have to have my whole life. And for like college, I had to have some, whether it's music or TV in the background. I don't know why. But they, Tuesday morning, they were talking about he has it. He has that, you know, he's like 63-3. Since high school.
I heard that.
Career-wise. And apparently he went into as they were down by 11 or whatever, he, in the huddle, goes, is there any place you'd rather be right now?
Yeah.
And that kind of fired up the troops. And so he's got that leadership quality.
He's got moxie. He's got nerve.
He does indeed. And
to
I heard
say
that
down 11, you know, it's good leadership. I mean, no one will believe your bullshit if you don't believe your own bullshit. You
well,
know what I mean? And
he's got a steadfast
belief in himself.
They said that the year before they won the national championship, that some people were taking that portal that's hugely popular right now, and JJ was trying to stop them. Like, hey, guys, we got something special. You know,
yeah, he believes in the team, not just I.
Yeah.
That's a good thing for a leader, as I understand it. All right. Well, I'm excited to see what happens this season. He ignited something.
There could be either several new podcasts coming from this season. Oh,
there'll be podcasts either way. As long as they make a deep run, there'll be podcasts about it. All right, so let's set the scene for 2017. Top grossing movies, Chris. Jaws, One Flew Over the... Oh, wait, that's 75.
I was like, wait.
Yeah. Wait till you hear what I have for you. Capes and tights. Number 10, Justice League, Capes and Tights. 9, Despicable Me 3. Did you catch the first two?
I know we did the first one with the kids, and then by this point, I'm sure the kids watched it, and maybe I was in the room, but I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Not exactly Dog Day Afternoon.
5 kids, right?
Four.
Four kids, yep.
Okay. Number 8, Thor. Number 7, I can't even pronounce that. 7, It, Stephen King. 6, More Tights, Spider-Man Homecoming. 5, Tights and Capes, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. 4, Jumanji. Big hit in the Colosimo household.
Yeah, I liked it better than the original with Robin Williams, personally, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, The Rock and Kevin Hart together are going to make it entertaining regardless of the subject matter of the movie. So yeah, I mean, it was good.
I'll have to take your word for it on that one.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Yep.
Number 3, Wonder Woman.
We did see that. My wife's a big fan of Wonder Woman.
Yep, it was okay. All right.
Number 2, Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Wow, what a bad year for movies.
Oh, yeah.
Number 1, with the bullet, rehashing old shit, Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Are you a Star Wars guy, Chris?
I was. I'm definitely the first, the original three. I was huge Star Wars guy. Super excited when they started rolling out the new stuff.
And then?
And I've just been disappointed movie after movie after movie. That
pretty much it.
Yeah, right? That's what Star Wars,
so they're kind of beating it into the ground and just the content isn't there.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the first three movies, you know, as a kid.
The first three were about storytelling, and then it's...
It's just telling the same story again with different lightsabers.
Yeah, I don't know. So you're a Star Wars guy too?
Yeah, when I was little, okay. Certainly.
So you guys are going to both be angry with me. So the original came out in what, 76?
79. I think it was 77.
Okay, somewhere in the 70s, and all my buddies were huge, you know, Star Wars guys. We go to a theater. It was like a buck back then. And I'm getting hit halfway through the movie because I'm snoring. Fell asleep.
How? What? When you were like 10? You fell asleep during Star Wars when you were 10.
I was 13.
Okay.
But
okay.
It's just, but not, still. I'm not like Tron and Lord of the Rings and Star Wars.
You're not into fantasy.
No, it's just not my deal.
But Jumanji, on the other hand. Jumanji. That fucking what? Documentary.
That's not real?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Should we get over to music?
Oh, if we have to.
Yeah. At the risk of sounding like a million years old, I don't like any of these. Number 10, J.
No toe tappers?
No, not a single toe tapper on the list. Number 10, For Your Eyes Only, J. Cole. 9, Hamilton soundtrack. 8, Migos. I think he might be pretty good, but I've never actually heard.
I mean, Hamilton. We're a big theater family.
Oh,
at our house, so the Hamilton soundtrack was big there. Was big in our house.
Yeah, I read the book.
Have you seen Hamilton?
A couple times.
Okay,
yeah.
I'd like to. I just haven't had a chance to.
It's fantastic. I mean, just as a cultural experience, it's really great.
Yeah,
you know, but you know, it's still a theater thing.
Right.
You know, it did cross a little bit and became a little bit bigger than most theater stuff.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah, the fact that though, a soundtrack is in the top 10 albums of the year kind of tells you what was happening.
There's a very good point. And a big shout out to your families. They have a theater in Rogers called Front Porch Theater.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's my in-laws theater company.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Teach kids.
So Chris is down with the arts.
Yeah, very much so. Absolutely.
My wife and I owned a music school for 25 years.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Rogers School of Music.
Rogers School of Music.
My son was
even hired a Colosimo. Not this Colosimo.
It was
Michael was a.
He didn't say hire a convict. He said hire a Colosimo.
He was a great drum instructor. Mike was great.
Yeah. Yeah, I told you Michael played
the drums. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to get him to play with me.
But he had a kid. Those days
Well,
are
he's
over.
Blaming the shoulder.
Yeah, he needs shoulder surgery. But we digress. That's
all right, let's get through this list. So we can
if we have to.
Get rid of it. Where were we? Oh, yeah, Migos. I think he was married to Cardi B. Who dated? I'll bring it back. Who dated?
Cardi B.
Stigs. Cardi B is like a pop star.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that name. Heard that name.
She dated Diggs. See, I brought it back to
Stefan Diggs.
Stefan Diggs. Okay.
Okay.
I think they already broke up.
Yeah,
you're shocked by this.
No.
I thought they'd be together forever.
Not shocked.
All right. Number 7, Post Malone, Stony. 6, Moana soundtrack.
There you go.
5, Drake. 4, Ed Sheeran. I think
I like Ed Sheeran.
Okay.
You like Ed Sheeran?
So I don't know. I'll probably get roasted for this. I owned a music school. I'm not the biggest music guy. My wife was the piano player.
Yes.
The piano teacher, everything. I'm not. And like, I'm the opposite of you, Mike, you know, where you have to sit and you have to have music in the background when you're doing work, whatever.
I
need
quiet.
Silence in order. If I'm listening to anything, I'll end up not focusing on what I'm supposed to be working on.
Yeah.
So music, and then when I'm in the car, whatever, I'm a podcast guy.
Got it.
You know.
Yep. Nope. Makes sense.
The family listens to music, and when the wife and I are in the car, she'll put something on. But.
So what I'm hearing is music's gotten so bad, you've just given up on it.
Kind of. Yeah.
Kind of.
I love the old '90s music.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's about it for me.
Let me ask you this: if you had a favorite band, who would it be?
Ooh, favorite band.
I know that's a tough one.
That's a real
for me.
Tough
it's easy.
One.
But...
Yeah, I don't know that I necessarily do. You know, if I'm listening to something current, it's probably going to be something like Imagine Dragons or something like that.
All right.
They're all right. They have some catchy stuff. I also don't know words to any song.
That's me too.
When I hear the music, I'm just like, oh, that's cool. And my wife's like, do you know what they're singing about? I'm like, no, not a clue at all. So I'm just listening to the beat.
That's me too. But out of fairness, your wife is an amazing musician. And
yes, so she is.
She's got to give us a little latitude, Jen. Okay, sorry.
Can she sing?
She can sing,
Does she want to start a cover band with me?
Probably not.
She's more of the classical music type.
Well, at least run it by her.
Got it. That'll be the first thing I mention to her when I get home.
Yeah.
Remind yourself. Make a reminder. I'll wait. No, just kidding. All right, where were we with this list? Number three, The Weeknd, Starboy. Number two, Bruno Mars. I like Bruno Mars. Yeah. 24K Magic. And then this guy's good. Kendrick Lamar, Damn, number one record. World Events. I didn't write any of them down. It's just sexism, gun violence, climate change, and we have a game show host for a president. That's pretty much what happened in 2017.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that long ago. So if you want to relive those fond memories, just do your own research. I didn't feel like writing any of it down. Seriously, it was not good. It was about 20 things, and they were all negative.
Well, which seems to be consistent with the landscape of
what we're... It's continuing, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Sad days indeed.
Well, I mean, today is 9/11, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we should, you know.
Pour some out.
Yeah, absolutely. Honor.
Let's get on to football. Let's get a little pumped up. Let's change the mood. We are doing the 2017 season. Chris, you specifically asked to be on this show.
I did.
Tell us why.
So the way Mike and I met was I was actually a pastor at the church that his family attended, and I grew up in the church, and so Sundays, I was never able to, you know, catch the beginning of Vikings games or anything like that. In 2013, I left that to work full-time with my wife. We owned our own businesses and everything.
Has it been that long, Mike?
2013, yeah. It's crazy. And then by the time 2017 came around, business was doing really well, and I was actually able to afford season tickets for the very first time ever.
Oh.
So 2017, and my boys had never been super into sports. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say into football. They it was dad's thing, mm-hmm. and whatever. And so that was the first year that obviously my boys attended games. Started really getting into.
You got them roped in.
I got them roped in.
Did you give them any kind of like warning, like, you know, before a movie comes on, like warning, this might trigger.
No.
Did you give them any kind of preparatory?
I was hoping, you know, as all Vikings fans hope, that this year would be different and things would turn out better than that. And I didn't want to poison them with my, you know.
The
truth. And so we got to experience that entire season
together. They had no idea what was coming, but you did.
I knew exactly what was coming. But I thought it was going to come a week earlier,
get there. But after that, you must have been like,
I was convinced that things had turned around that moment.
Do you still have season tickets?
This year I let them last.
You let them? Okay. First time.
This is the first time. So 17 through last year.
Yep. No, I did not know that, but, so that is perfect to have you on this episode. And, unfortunately our children now understand why misery loves company because any game, like Monday night, my phone's blown up. I actually had to put it on the fridge because my kids, we've got this family thread, and Vinny's chiming in, Michael's chiming in, Michelina's a diehard Vikings fan, and our kids now, because of us, enjoy the heartache of, as I've said many times on this podcast, they find new and creative ways to tear out your heart and then show it to you beating before you die.
100%.
Yeah. That brings up a good question for Chris, which is all the misery that comes with almost winning, right? And being so close and, you know, making the four Super Bowls and having all these other competitive teams. that's one way to be a fan of a team, or that's one option as a fan. You have these heartbreakers. The other option is like the Bears, right? They were good in 85. My favorite all-time team, fridge, tons of personality.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just like Jim McMahon. And I think I told you Walter Payton was my favorite player growing up. It was Walter Payton, Magic Johnson, Kirby. Dead. Magic's doing fine, but it wasn't looking good there for a minute.
Yeah.
So my point or my question for you is, Chris, like they just haven't sniffed anything, the Bears. They've been terrible for whatever.
Yeah. They made one Super Bowl
40 years now.
06, they made Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
Lost to Peyton.
Would you rather?
Well, and that's my brother-in-law, right? And he's the one that I was watching the game with. You know, Jordan.
Yes.
I was watching the game with him on Monday. He grew up just outside of Chicago. But he still has that token to say, but we've won one.
Yeah.
And yes, you have.
So you'd rather be?
No, I would not. I would rather the ups and downs and the potential because, they just haven't had that potential to win seemingly like forever.
A better one is the Browns.
Oh.
They had Belichick and they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, but I don't know if they've had like the heartbreak law.
No.
That's the point. What I meant.
No, but we've had just like 15-1. In 98, we should have been in the Super Bowl, right? We've had these just crushing defeats. I suppose you could go back to Elway, the drive.
Yeah.
What was that, 87 or whatever? But they've had one or two. But yeah,
But to me, I would rather than a team like the Browns that have never won, or even the Lions that, you know, they've been terrible for forever. We've had hope so many more times than they have. I the heartbreak is bad, but I'd like that the fact that there's always hope with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
And every exception this season.
Every season starts fresh and it's like, well, you know, we've got all the pieces around JJ. If he can just be, you know, that old school game manager and not try to do too much, we should be able to pull off a good number of wins, maybe sneak into the playoffs, maybe do something crazy. There's that hope. But who knows what's going to happen next week? And, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. They'll find new and inventive ways.
Oh.
But, yeah, it was just so perfect Monday because it's like no hope for three quarters and then we found our guy.
Yeah.
You know, and the team's going – you know, the coach, you don't see coaches really celebrate like that too often.
No, KOC was really into it.
Yeah.
He's a pretty
emotive.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you guys caught it in one of the preseason games. He dropped an Effenheimer on air. They had him mic'd up and he apologized the next day, but you know.
But it was over a penalty that, you know, shouldn't have happened.
No fucking question about that.
That's just tradition.
Yes, it wasn't quite that. That was on purpose. I don't think KOC's was on purpose.
No.
But clearly the guy cares and he's wanting the best for the team and it just came out in that. And so, you know.
The passion.
Yep. You get the X's and O guy and the chemistry guy and one coach.
Yeah.
That's good shit.
I mean, everybody loves KOC. The national guys love KOC. You know, we'll see if he's the guy. He's
very competent at his job. It'll be interesting when they do make a deep run because they're going to.
He must be one tall dude because he looked like he was 3 inches taller than JJ, and he's what, 6'4", 6'3"?
JJ 6'4".
I don't know. I'm guessing 6'3".
JJ's gonna be a dad.
The afro.
Did you guys hear that?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's only 22.
Yep.
He's got a lot on his plate.
yes.
He remembers the number one thing on his plate should be disappointing you all, which means you have to get good before you can be bad.
Well, that's true. So let's get good first and let's see how far we can take it.
I think it's in the future, but we'll see. All right, around the league. Well, do you remember who won the Super Bowl this year? Of course you do.
I do.
Oh, the Eagles.
Yep. Behind somebody that allegedly has something in common with Milton Berle. Nick Foles. Do you want to guess what that something is?
I know what that something is.
Rye Witt. Just kidding. okay, yeah, the league MVP was Tom Brady. I wonder if that was pre or post.
You're taking all my trivia questions. Go ahead.
Oh, all right.
no,
sorry. Go. Take the floor, Mike.
No, let's
play some games.
The number one and two are done. Which player led the league in rushing that year?
I won't look. Chris, this is for you.
Led the league in rushing?
Todd Gurley, Kareem Hunt, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott.
I am the worst at trivia. I mean, this is in the Todd Gurley, I think, was done by this point. Zeke, I don't know that was around. We're going to go Le'Veon Bell.
Close, but it was Kareem Hunt.
Sure, the one that I didn't mention. Perfect, yeah.
The rest are fairly nondescript, so we can move on. But right. Anyway.
That's a minus one for...
Yeah, right. All right.
In case you come back to the show, we like to keep a running tally.
Yeah. Perfect, perfect.
Reminds me every week of my minus four or whatever.
I've minus? Or, no, plus. We were playing golf.
Plus, oh, that's right.
Yeah, every week. Yeah, I reminded you last week.
Totally.
All right, yeah. Good one. Defensive player of the year, Aaron Darnold.
Good
beast.
Yeah, incredible. Offensive rookie of the year, AK Alvin Kamara. Defensive rookie, Lattimore.
Yeah, he'll come on the same team.
Yep. Coach Sean McVay, coach of the year. Let's see the leaders. Mike, you got into it. Kareem Hunt led the league in rushing. In touchdowns, it was Gurley. He was around.
Oh, he was. Yeah.
And then receiving yards, Julio Jones, and receptions was Michael Thomas and Julio.
Wow. The Saints had a juggernaut of a team.
They did.
Yeah, they got good there.
And we beat them.
And we beat them.
Just broadly, what do you guys remember about going into the 2017 Vikings season? There was some, it wasn't a healthy ball, squad.
No, I mean, we were rocking, what was the quarterback? Wow, I completely...
Case Keenum?
No, the other guy. Bradford.
Sam Bradford. Yeah.
And, no one's excited about Sam Bradford.
Well, he's made a pretzel, and so just blow on him and he'll get hurt.
Yeah, he got the injury bug and couldn't get rid of it.
But he got a massive rookie contract.
Yeah, a couple of contracts.
He was the number one pick number of years
before.
He's
a rich man for sure. This is what I love about the Vikings is Lucy will set up that ball when you're not expecting it. It's like she kind of catches you by surprise. Like you're all mentally prepared to have Case Keenum or even Bradford, Dalvin Cook gets hurt the third week. Yeah. He was crushing too. And then you're like, no reason to be excited about this season. And then they just start rattling stuff off this hope.
We were 1-2 after 3 weeks. I was like, let's just pack it up and let's go home.
You did have a decent squad, though. The pass catchers, the battery of pass catchers was Thielen in his prime, Diggs in his prime, Kyle Rudolph in his prime.
Yep.
You landed on your feet with Latavius Murray. Who was the other RB? Oh, McKinnon. Jerick McKinnon. Good athlete. Yep. Sort of that lightning and thunder setup.
And then we had Zimmer's defense, which was always good.
Yeah, you had this gentleman tried to book at Misery Studios for the other purpose here. Everson Griffin, he didn't show up though.
Did he pay?
Yeah.
And he didn't show up?
Yeah, I told him you could have a credit and he just didn't text me back.
Gotcha. Well, I think Everson has some.
He struggles.
Emotional.
Got some.
Harrison Smith still around.
Yeah.
He led the team in interceptions. Kendricks, UCLA linebacker. He was really good.
Yep.
Yeah, he had a good defense.
Xavier Rhodes was the number one corner in the league that year.
I forgot about some of these guys.
Yeah.
So you're 1-2, and then you end up 13-3.
Yeah. And the one game that we lost was just a stupid loss in the middle of to Carolina, I think. We lost in Carolina. It was just a fluke, we shouldn't have lost to him type of a thing.
I'm glad you're here because I don't remember.
But that one, from 1-2 to 13-3 was still magical.
Do you remember the home record?
We lost to the Lions in week three because Dalvin fumbled when he tore his knee or whatever happened to him, like literally on that same play. We were going down to score, probably would have taken the lead, whatever. And so then that was the one loss. I brought my daughter to that game because I'm like, I want you to see a win. The Lions are terrible. I'm going to bring you to this game. And then we all left. It was
get used to it, kid.
Are you superstitious at all? Like you're never coming to this game to the game again.
No, but I think she lost in 2018 as well, and her brothers were like, "You're never going to the game again."
So they this are. Is,
we it. Did. We do oh, have.
So it was her fault.
Though. Well, the at least Dalvin was her fault. Oh, right. We do have a lucky jersey in the family, though. That for I think 5 years never saw a loss.
Wow.
And so, but unfortunately that jersey was too small for me. It was fit on one of my boys when he was, you know, 14, 15 years old. And, well, that doesn't work any longer. So,
yeah.
so that one, it did eventually, get some losses, but for a number of years, it was
the lucky jersey.
So it even went to that Indianapolis Colts game that we were down 33-0.
Wow.
My father-in-law came with me to that game and he wanted a jersey. I'm like, well, wear this one because this is the – and we –
And sure enough.
Yeah. And it
– The greatest comeback in the history of the NFL.
And it did work. So, yeah, with little superstition, not a lot.
But yeah, okay.
Definitely gotcha. Some.
I think a lot of fans have some derivation of that, you know, their lucky socks or whatever.
Well, and I've shared this with you, JP, off air. I'm a former baseball player and quirky beyond belief. I wouldn't clip my nails during game day and, you know, just some weird things that have no bearing, but mentally they do, right?
And that matters to players. I don't think it matters to fans.
No, you're right. I don't think the fans have any impact.
A lot of these losses are due to you not being mentally prepared to be a fan. Did you know that?
Well, then it's my fault and Jeff the
not
dealer.
Not just you, all the fans. You guys got to prepare.
prepare for loss and heartache and misery.
It's a good lesson for life. I've said it before, maybe a tad negative, but like life, it kind of never works out the way you want anyways. It's good for the kids to get used to this disappointment and handle it well. Yeah, they had a great season. I mean, they improved their running game with the aforementioned Dalvin Cook, but then Lat Murray, there was a little note on that. Like, and then their defense was just very strong. So, you know, it's okay to have, when you have a good defense in a running game, it's okay to have like a serviceable quarterback that doesn't really turn the ball over, does the smart thing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this season
he played the game manager role, which is exactly what we want from JJ this year. But, you know, there's times where you need that quarterback to win a game for you, and so you just hope that they've got it in them. But
yeah,
as long as Case was just didn't turn the ball over and just kept us moving up and down the field, that's what we needed with that team.
Did they put him in because Bradford went down?
Yeah, he got hurt after week
Teddy
one.
Too. Okay. Teddy got hurt.
Well, Teddy was already hurt, and then he came back in way at the end of the season.
Okay.
And the fan, it was I think the Bengals game. Teddy comes in, you know, to mop up duty because the Bengals were terrible then. And the fans just go nuts that Teddy's in the game, and because everybody loved Teddy,
not because
of what he did on the field, but because we just like Teddy.
He's as a person,
yeah. And he throws a pick on his first throw.
And then, hey guys, you nice and excited now? Come on, get excited! Everybody, get excited! Ready? Yeah. Everybody looking? Everybody, seriously, ready? I'm back!
Oh my god!
And then he just handed the ball off the rest
to the
of the
other
game.
Team.
Yeah. It was the fans. I mean, we were going nuts. We're like, yeah, Teddy's back.
I admire Teddy. He had some serious injuries when he came back.
Oh, one was life-threatening. Yeah,
it was brutal. All right, 13-3. You earned yourself a bye, and let's see if we can jog our memories to January 14th, 2018. You know what? There's a thing in journalism you're not supposed to do. It's bury the lead. So why bury the lead here? Let's just get right.
Are we journalists? Is that my new title?
I'm a very serious journalist.
Keenum's going to try to work the ball on the boundary. Keenum steps into it. Passes.
Still gives me chills to this day.
You were there.
We had already planned a family vacation.
Oh, you weren't there.
So we were actually in Disney World, but I told my wife, I said, well, we're not going to a park that day because we've got to watch this game. And so we were actually at the ESPN zone, surrounded by Vikings fans and Saints fans. We were in Florida.
Okay. Disney Springs?
Yeah.
Yep.
And no, not Disney Springs. It was one of the other resorts,
okay.
The boardwalk or something like that.
Yeah.
Had an ESPN zone. But so it was the room that we were in, the whole floor was all Vikings fans, and then around the outside of that floor was all Saints fans. Like, they literally sat the tables.
Did you guys rumble?
Sharks, Jets.
There was a couple times where the guys behind us at, when the Saints were coming back, that they were starting to get
chirp
a little bit. And I'm like, my boys weren't too young at that point. They were teenagers, but I was just like, okay, I've got my kids here. And there were like little kids around too.
Yeah. Were they dropping F-bombs and everything?
No, but they would, when the Saints were starting to, they would get right in our ears and start screaming.
Really?
Yeah.
That's rude.
I'm like, all right, yeah, we can be, but there was another table of Saints fans that were super cool.
Now I'm happy that happened to them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm happy because I'm not a fan of Sean Payton at all.
Correct. Right, and it's kind of apropos that we're doing back-to-back Bounty Gate and then this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Maybe karma is real. Yeah, so of course we listened to the famous play where Diggs basically jumps over the last DB.
Yeah.
It was just a really fundamentally poor strategy.
Yeah, it wasn't Lattimore. I think it was a different rookie.
Lattimore was on the other side. Yeah, I think his name's Williams.
And he just blew that. I mean, don't have to make a big hit there.
No.
Just have to hold him up and make him.
Yeah.
If we didn't get out of bounds, game was over.
Yep.
And he tried to make the big hit. And boy, he's immortalized in the NFL for history.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. And right before that, if you guys recall, Sean Payton is doing the skull chant on the sidelines to the fans.
Oh, he was?
He was taunting the fans, which is another reason.
What a dick.
Yes. Yeah.
He was doing this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Poetic justice. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely.
That's fucking awesome.
He thought it was over.
He ate it right there?
Yep.
He thought it was over.
And it was kind of his fault.
I mean, let's be clear. It was over. I mean, how many times have we ever seen?
I think there was 10 seconds left, right?
10 seconds left. I mean, it's a Hail Mary, but it was too far away, wasn't it? I mean, we were at the 40-yard line. So, a ridiculous Hail Mary.
You needed a miracle and you got one.
And Case Keenum did not have the arm McCarthy has. So what's so funny about that is, because I've lived this so many times, Kelly looks at me, starts crying. It's like, I am so done with the Vikings. And she storms off upstairs. And all of a sudden this happens and I see her peer over the, are you kidding me? Are you kidding? And then she comes running back down. I'm like, oh, bandwagon jumper. Welcome back.
Funny to see you here.
The guys,
you are done.
The guys that sit in front of us at the Vikings, or sat, since we don't have tickets anymore, told us the next year he literally ripped off his jersey and like tore it a little bit and threw it down the stairs before.
Yeah, there's some videos online of this stuff.
Just despondent. And then, of course, that happens. And
And
he would have scored in the end zone right underneath us.
Where
our seats were.
Oh, my goodness.
It would have just been. I mean, looking back on it, I'm like,
you're not alone. At least you didn't leave in the middle of the game. There are a lot of Buffalo fans in the Mafia.
Yeah.
That, I mean, maybe they'll get jumped out of the Mafia. You leave early and then Josh.
Yeah, on back. Sunday night, the stadium
You guys were tried and true. You got to stay to the
end.
They
call it getting whacked in the Mafia.
Thank you for the terminology.
We don't know this stuff, Mike. I know that's your world. It's not our world at all.
Bring some terminology in for you guys.
Lest you think we're kidding, look up Big Jim Colosimo
I have nothing to do with that.
And
world,
we're back.
For the record.
And we're back.
We're going to edit that in post, I'm sure.
I actually have to edit.
I'm a commercial realtor for the love of Pete, all right?
Yeah, but I think there was
a lot of guys, Italian guys in New York City that were in commercial real estate as well.
Yeah. Commercial. Do you do some waste management on the side too?
And we import olive oil, but
we're
diverse.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Your nickname. It's not that inventive. Your nickname at the club, at your cigar place.
My buddies call me the gangster, and not really
because you're in you're in commercial real estate.
Well, because I'm a gangbanger, and I mean, if you look at me, you know yes. just by looking at me
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing they're picking at my heritage, and so. But like, I'm a nice gangster.
Yeah. Just don't cross him. All right. So, yeah, that I played the end at the beginning because we didn't want to bear the lead because we're very serious journalists over here. The Vikings pull it out 29-24. Send the Sean Payton-led Vikings back to New Orleans for a po' boy. And
couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
And correct. And the Vikings are on to face big Nick Foles. Stats for the game, Case, game manager, 25 of 40, 318 yards, one TD, one interception. Breeze went 25 for 40, 294, three TDs, two interceptions. Latavius Murray had 50 yards and a TD. Kamara had 43 yards, blah, blah, blah. Friggin' Diggs went off. Six catches, 137. Of course, that 61 at the end helped that that stat line, but and then the game-winning TD. Michael Thomas chipped in with seven catches, 85 yards, two TDs. Great game. It'll be remembered as long as they remember the game of football, that game.
Oh,
and you could have been there, Chris.
I could have been there if my wow. wife hadn't scheduled. No, I'm kidding. We had no clue when we scheduled that vacation that the Vikings were even going to
sure.
be a part of
wasn't
that.
Wasn't so. Looking too promising in the beginning.
No, and so, you know, we did whatever we needed to do. But I was just at the Hall of Fame last year, and they've got a big Diggs display really? of that catch and everything. So it saw John Randall. At the Hall of Fame.
He was there.
We walked in, and he's doing stuff over here, getting his picture taken, like crushing a helmet of whoever we were playing that next week. And then we walked up to him, and we talked. Nicest guy.
That's awesome.
Is he the one that does the school stuff? He teaches at school?
No, that's Randall McDaniel.
Yeah, Randall.
Yeah, another Randall.
Yep.
Cool.
How cool is that? That's awesome.
Just random. Just happened to happen.
No, I mean, just going to Canton.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we made a quick guys trip. We hit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. And then we hit that one, the Hall of Fame, the next day, and then flew home the day after that. Like, it was a...
What a trip.
Yeah, but it was a blast.
That's cool. Yeah.
Did they have anything about the four Super Bowls where you scored 0 points in the first half of each?
You know what? I'm sure they did, and I'm sure my brother-in-law who was with me was pointing out all of that stuff to me, but I just glossed over the 70s.
Yeah.
Well, let's be clear. I glossed over most of the things where they mentioned the Vikings because it was never going to be a lot of positivity.
No.
So, you know, we just we looked at everything and, you know.
Yeah.
Do you know what Mike's dream is? To have it be – actually, this is my dream. To have it be Buffalo v. the Vikes this year.
See, I can't have that because I can't – I'm okay with Buffalo going, but I need them to keep losing. I can't – we can't be the only 0-0 and, you know, multiple Super Bowl team out there. It's great that they're there, and they're actually worse than us because it was 4 in a row. And I remember all those. So
but at least they scored points in the first half.
Wow. He keeps bringing that back.
That's 0 points first half.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know much outside of what I've learned from you guys about the 70s, but I put it all at Fran's feet.
I do.
I know he's your guy, but I mean it.
I do. Fran makes no mistakes.
Fran's perfect.
Fran's perfect in my eyes. Yeah. No, it's... It is this classic Vikings.
Did you watch That's Incredible?
I've seen some clips of it. I don't know that I ever watched it.
Oh, okay. All right.
But yeah, I remember Fran on there.
Do you remember if they went to Philadelphia or was the NFC team? It was in Philly.
But the Super Bowl was here. And so we were going to be the first ones ever to play in our home stadium. And we were like, oh my gosh.
If it's too good to be true, it usually
is. It was the dream.
Yeah. I think a couple of years later, Tampa ended up being that team,
in
right?
2000.
Yeah.
Or 2020, I mean.
This is planned long before the championship game, but we were in Maui during the Super Bowl. I know, it's good for me, sweet brag.
oh, good for you!
I thought for sure you were going to drop that. But, I mean, there were some discussion, like, if it's here and the Vikes are in it, do we cancel our tickets? And then I was told, no, we will not cancel our tickets.
I think that's wise.
Yeah.
Don't. So what? You can lose a Super Bowl and have missed your trip to Hawaii?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
and it was like 20 below from what I've heard.
Oh, yeah, it was miserable here.
Brutal.
Yeah, well, at least it was over quick. This wasn't much of a game. It was 38-7 was the final score.
But we scored on the first drive.
Yes.
And we thought this is – and so the second half of our trip, we were actually on a cruise ship. And they put the game on the big screen. So all of us Vikings fans, all of us Eagles fans are sitting out there by the pool watching this. And we score that first touchdown – and all the Vikings fans go nuts.
Do they not learn their lesson?
No, they don't. No, of course we don't.
No.
You lose it all the memory.
Why do you think we're here?
All the hope and the everything in the past is gone every season. And I swear some of the guys were about ready to jump in the pool because it was like it was just the coronation of what was going to be. And then you're right. It was over. Me and my boys, we left. I think at halftime.
Well, Case threw a pick six, and it seems like from there it was game over. You didn't score again. So,
yeah.
Were the Eagles fans obnoxious?
Oh, as obnoxious as you would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the fans of every other team, too. There were some Bears fans and some Packers fans, of course, on this, and they thought it was the greatest thing ever.
Of course they would, yeah.
You know, but the Eagles fans were what you would expect. That was the year of, Millie?
And they were telling her
all
to
the
F,
banners, F Millie and whatever. It's like, okay, she's like 100 years old.
Right.
Like, why are we?
Stay classy, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And then they showed a bunch of clips of like Vikings fans getting beers thrown at them. Yeah. Some of them got beat up.
I hate all that shit.
Yeah. It's
supposed to be fun, guys.
It's a game.
Seriously.
Yeah. It's.
You know, I've been to Lambeau 9 times in a row, and yeah, there's a couple of idiots in every. You go to the US Bank Stadium, Vikings fans can be cruel.
Idiocracy. Zealotness.
Yeah, it's a game. Yeah. It's a game.
It should be what brings us together. Yeah, you're for the other team. You know, I went to the Vikings game every year with the Bears game with my brother-in-law, who's a Bears fan. We enjoy it together. Sometimes he's disappointed. Sometimes I'm disappointed. But it should be about the camaraderie of it and, you know, messing with people, whatever. But cussing people out, dumping beer over their heads.
Yeah.
I've had people switch seats with me because they were like, can you go sit by that lady? Because I don't want – I'm like, yes, I'll go sit by that lady.
Wow.
You sit here because they were being rude and obnoxious and whatever. And it's like, we don't need this.
No, we really don't. And I've been to Soldier Field twice. And, yeah, again, a couple of idiots in every crowd. But overall, they were – you know, we lost both times I was there. But that was kind of a sympathy thing. The funniest part is as we're walking out, it was there in like 19 or 2020, as we're all walking out, Vikes and Bears fans start chanting, Packers suck. Packers suck.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yes. That is the one thing my brother-in-law and I agree on wholeheartedly. Yes. We tell our daughters, no Packers fans. I don't care who you date. Just can't be a Packers fan. Although my wife married a Packers fan and converted her. So it was a big deal. Ethan. He married her. Yeah, he married a Packers fan, and we were like, what are you doing? Why are you dating this girl? This is not okay.
He converted her to be a Vikings fan?
Yeah.
Who signs up for this? Like, if you're born here, that's one thing.
That's love.
Her family that was Packers fans. She did grow up here.
Does her family still talk to her?
I don't know.
Mixed marriages can work.
Yeah, but only when there's conversion.
Only when there's conversion, exactly. Oh, man.
Yeah. So that's all I have for you guys. Yeah, they struggled. The game manager threw two picks. That's never a good thing when your game manager is doing that sort of thing. And that was 2017. All the excitement, the play that'll go down in history. Reasons to be excited, kind of a season out of nowhere, which we've done a couple of times on this program. Close but no cigar.
Yeah. Yeah. Any thoughts on, from your standpoint, Chris, you were there at most of the games.
Yeah. Remember? I mean, it was such a fun season, and it was, to be honest, it's the reason my boys are still invested in Vikings football to this day. If we had gone, 6-11 and not done anything that season, they might have just been like, gee, thanks for bringing us these games, but that's not fun. And so it really, invigorated them, but it was such a fun season seeing all that. And then, down in Orlando, these little kids hugging me because I was wearing a Vikings jersey, and you know, like,
that's what sports is supposed to do.
It was the most amazing experience. And then there was one table of Saints fans that we went up and talked to after the game, and they were super nice about it. We, you know, we said, you know, thanks for being respectful fans. Because,
and you can say, look, we've been you guys.
Yeah,
but they have a Super Bowl.
They do.
They were actually competitive in this game.
Yes, they definitely were. So, no, it was a great season. We have an unbelievable memory from it. But it just, I mean, what I tell my boys is just imagine if that play had been in the Super Bowl. I mean, I probably would have had a heart attack.
Well, that was going to be my next question.
I didn't have an Apple Watch at the time, but you saw all those videos of people, their watch saying, it looks like you're having a heart attack right now. I'm pretty sure I would have.
Well, my question was going to be, what do you guys think you'll do if they actually win one? Do you even dare to dream? Or I know what I think is pretty cool, and it's going to be nostalgic, or that mix of happy and sad at the same time. There's going to be a lot of people where their family members didn't make it to see.
Yeah,
when it finally go down. Well, I think it's going to be quite the emotional experience. What do you guys think?
I mean,
finally get one.
It will be a very emotional experience. I don't know if you remember when the Cubs won their World Series. Finally, there was guys listening to the game at their dad's gravesite, you know, to experience that with that. But that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
When, I mean, the Viking, maybe it'll be my kids or my grandkids listening at my gravesite, but you know, no, I need one. I need one.
Yeah.
But it will be, you know, after going through all the misery and all the heartbreak, to finally win one will be an amazing experience that I don't know that I could tell you what it's going to be like.
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny because my kids, a lot of times, and you know my kids, Michael's extremely passionate. Takes a little chip off the old block on Mikey.
Does he throw stuff when they lose?
And he throws some colorful language occasionally.
Sure.
He's super passionate. And Vinny is too, but Vinny's got kind of a mellow approach to
life. He's more reserved.
Life. Yes, very much so. But they both, when these texts are going on, it's like, Dad, how could you do this for 55 years? And I'm like, misery loves company, my brother. Yeah. Misery loves company. So, yeah, just one.
It's
all
so
I
fun
want.
To talk to people, Minnesota citizens. There's not a single one that doesn't start the conversation with their fandom as like, what I tell you, the one guy said, when you become a fan, they have a contract you just sign. You're willing to get your heart broken. That's part of the deal. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
But it's bound to happen sometime. And I keep saying it over and over. I think you have a lot of good pieces right now. And I really hope I'm around to see it happen.
Me too. Oh. And we've talked about this in previous
episodes.
We are like number 3 or 4 as far as all-time
winning percentage
without a Super Bowl. The teams ahead of us, three teams ahead of us, and all like 2 or 3 teams below us have Super Bowls. And so it's got the law of averages have got to kick in it.
I'd rather be a Vikings fan than a Browns fan, though.
For sure. I mean, it happened for the Cubs. I mean, it took them, 108 years?
The Sox.
Yeah, the Red Sox broke their
curse.
I mean,
there were a lot of tears. That was a big-time emotional thing.
The curse has to end at some point.
I just hope we're alive.
Desperate for Mike and I to celebrate that together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike, we'll watch the Super Bowl together when the Vikings make it.
Yes, that will be the positive deal.
Then. I think it's next year. If JJ's good, he'll get better next year.
Yep.
JJ will still be, or the other JJ will still be in his prime. KOC will be around. Brian Flores hopefully will still be around. The offensive line's good. There's just a lot of good pieces.
You know what? You're just building us up right now. This is your.
I'm not.
That's really you're
I'm
trying just, to tell
I'm
us how great we
it
are.
As I see
I don't
it.
Even
what
know
do
why I
know?
Consider you a friend.
You're a work associate. We're journalists.
Oh, are we?
Yeah. Obviously. Stupid. All right. Anything else you want to say, Chris? It was really nice to have you here.
Yeah, it was. Chris, thank you.
Yeah, it's been fun. This is
Another question before we go. Do you have one game that sticks out as like inconsolable? For me, it was like remember Dave Henderson for the Red Sox?
Yes.
Remember him in the 80s? The Angels were good, and Donnie Moore gave up a...
I remember being pretty... Didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Didn't need to take it that far, hopefully.
No, I just remember
that. No, not that, you. I mean, he didn't need to take it that far.
It's just the game.
I wasn't that upset. Yeah. Yeah, that one sticks out for me. Is there anything like that for you?
I mean, it's got to be the 98.
Yep.
NFC title game.
I think that's the one you said was, was painful, right?
So I watched.
I think that's the episode that I called it Lucy's magnum opus.
Yes. Yeah. There was no question that we were winning that game. And I was watching that with a different brother-in-law, my sister's husband. And, well, he's my current brother-in-law now, but he was my girlfriend's, or maybe he was my, he was my brother-in-law then. All right, two brothers-in-law, different sides of the family.
Okay.
And we just, after the game was over, we just sat and stared at the TV. It had to have been catatonic. For 15 minutes. Just couldn't believe what we just saw. And it, you know, there's, I mean, 09 was a big heartbreak too.
I remember
my wife invited people over. I'm like, don't invite people over when I'm watching the Vikings. This is like,
they're going to want to talk to me.
Yes. Well, I was sitting like crouched next to the couch watching, and one of the wives reached over and just like grabbed the top of my head and just like, just playful, whatever. And I just reached back and swatted at her. I missed her. But I thought it was one of my kids just messing with me or something. And her husband was like, maybe don't touch Chris right now.
Yeah.
But
you're not going to recognize this man before you.
No.
This is Chris during an important Vikings game.
That was the last time my wife invited anyone over to watch the Vikings.
I can relate.
With me.
It's only. The only thing I can compare it to personally is I had Gary Woodland to win the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach at 66-1, and Brooks Koepka was chasing him down. I don't know how he hit those golf shots. I mean, I think I was due to win $2,500 or something.
Sure,
a lot of money for me back then, or whatever. A lot of money today.
I'd take $2,500.
And I was just so nervous, and I didn't want to be around anyone. I didn't want anybody to talk to me. I was like living and dying with every stroke. But I had a lot of money on the line. You know what I mean? That's the only way I can kind of live in your guys' shoes. The other thing I wanted to ask is I have this theory that the current players know how much the fans care, and they fly against a ghost. You know what I mean? They're playing not only against the team before them, but all the memories and heartbreaks to redeem that. And I think it affects performance, because if you think about a professional athlete, golf's a good example, Mike. What's the difference between you waking up and going to play a course and shooting, whatever a good score is for you, 75 and 95? Physically, you're not any different. It's
all
mostly
mental.
Just mental stuff, right? Yep. So I don't know. I think the history factors in with these modern players. I don't know. It's a theory.
Yeah. Well, and you've got guys like Adam Thielen and CJ Hamm on the team, who are both Minnesota kids, who are bringing that into, their memory.
If he drops one,
yeah,
then I'm pretty sure my theory had something to do with, if it's a layup.
Yeah.
He did drop one the other night, didn't he?
Well, he got hit pretty hard, but he did drop one.
Yeah.
All right. Any last thoughts, Mike? What do you got?
I just want to thank Chris for coming on.
Absolutely.
Come back anytime, my friend. Are misery loves company. I mean, you are the demographic. And so I'll never forget, I think one or two episodes into it, I get a text from Chris. It's like, I'd love to be on the program. I'm like, love to have you, brother. Love to have you.
Yeah. And,
because misery loves company.
Absolutely.
It does.
Things are, do we have any more football heartbreaks?
Oh boy, week? 17. No, we could maybe do just a roundup or...
Yeah, we'll think of something.
Yeah.
All right.
We get to get into all the other sports that we've had heartbreaks.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no shortage of material.
Well, he just met the beat writer for...
I met a beat writer for the Twinkies. He worked for MLB.com.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to hit him up. And even if we don't do baseball next, we could just
get him on.
Get him on and store it and just release it when it's appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
All right. For Cuddy's Corner, you guys heard that music list. There wasn't much to choose from. I chose a band called Joyce Manor. They're my favorite.
Who?
They're called Joyce Manor. my sisters ran into the lead singer at a different show, and I'm like, yeah, let's do Joy. So this one's for Christy. And yeah, I don't have much to say other than there's just a dearth of music to choose from. This isn't even from 2017, but it's an awesome new band. They're, again, Joyce Manor. This is from the record Cody, and this song is called 18. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Next week, we'll figure it out. Thanks for listening. Everybody gets a little lonely song.